has left Saddam Hussein the ability to, number one, know what's happening to his forces, and number two, to communicate
to
him if he does decide so?
Again, Melissa, I don't have any information at this point on the
overall.
Very good. And when you comes another one to wipe, he may, by wiping, he may squeeze, that will calm the water out. He's not allowed to squeeze anything on Shabbat. Therefore, but when there is a lot of water that the person wiping it, that's what you don't squeeze it. It becomes a little wet, but doesn't matter. There are certain things okay for Hashem today. We don't have this. Now the younger generation, one word they used to use here. We used to have a king of handkerchief here. They called him Mr. Isaac Sharon. His business was what? Handkerchief. He sold that as part of the Kaddish Brahman. Luck with it. Success. My people tell me there are many people in the business here now. Community of handkerchief. They have the Chevron. They say they go there. Come somebody to buy handkerchief. It doesn't matter.
Can you give people any kind of general idea how long it's
okay? Here, you know, you have another, he shows him, then he shows him that. Mr. Shabbat said this could happen. I have the same thing. But the defense people don't know about this. The luck was that the handkerchief goes. Mr. Shabbat had a handkerchief. He puts them on the table, he puts here, and there, and he puts on the top. They dig in, they take that, the one was Shabbat. On the bike. Yeah, Mazar, this is the Mazar that he had. The king of the handkerchief, he used to use handkerchiefs a lot. Why? There was a time there was no tissues, no napkins, all these days. The newly developed, so you remember when you were a child, there was napkins and tissues? Never. Never. Now, even in Israel, 15 years ago wasn't. Now there is. But I remember 15 years ago they didn't have no napkins and tissues. Now, they used to make it and sell it at the drugstore only. Very expensive. Very few for the tourists that they come. They got used to it. But now they all use it. But now they have good
eyes.
Some of them they have cheap tissues. They're not too good. But in general, they use good
eyes.
Cost more money, but they have plenty.
Now,
they come to Dagestan. Handkerchiefs. They get dirty. You hang them to dry. Doesn't matter, because at that time, if you wash it, you can tell, washed or not washed. If it's a little bit dirty, you can tell it's not washed. It's okay if he hangs it. They know he didn't wash it yet. That means something you know. You can tell it wasn't washed, it's okay. That means all depends. If there is hashad, people will suspect him.
I know.
Now, the same thing will come if the clothes become and became very, very soft with water. Not only that you can't hang it, you can't even pick it up. Why? Before you may squeeze it. Exactly. But they say, if you have a garment that will soak the Lord, with 10 men, they will come and pick it up. So when there is 10 men, he will not come to squeeze it. Hey, what are you doing? Right away, you would yell. If there is 10 men telling him, carrying it for him, all the 10 carrying it, it's okay. We don't worry. Many times, the garment falls into something. So I don't know, I'm not allowed to tell you. All nine more people, so come here, pick it up with me. That's easy. The person has to think about all kinds of things, how to be able to pick it up on Shabbat. Okay, now, if there is a garment that was soaked not with water, זה something else. Wine. Wine, red wine. You can see the difficulty to life. You see, this is the wine over there. They know you didn't wash it. And therefore, it's difficult to life. Because since it's known, that people will not come to suspect there's many times also some certain garments you can say you have a dirty because it brings a little water on Shabbat he wipes it out just like washing the garment because depends if you wash it not small piece or big piece that is already not allowed to do something well you can spend time to sleep and stay somewhere right away something will get dirty here they run around they come to bring you the piece of clothes to room with the water to clean it I don't tell you now please I'll take it to the cleaner later leave it alone don't do it because when you come this has become Malachi Gemula because the kibbutz is good the question came can you fold garments clothes on Shabbat a woman takes she puts washing the machine washing the machine she takes it out of the machine on Shabbat with her two shoes she comes Shabbat she left it there on the machine and they take it out they can't fold it on Shabbat they can't fold clothes on Shabbat I have a garment it's only not to fold it I want to fold it to put it in order put it in the drum and it's important all I do if I want to fold it it's done you first of all don't fold it the way it was folded before you change fold and they can't see how about the talent we are putting tomato some words they say is not support some words they permit this is the cold 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 and that can be cold but the man said it's bad to eat the lid not to so it was difficult of opinion unless you change the folding and a different place it was folded this way
what's the reason behind it? What's the reason?
What?
That you shouldn't, that it's better not to?
The kapel is because the taken, like the food, yeah.
Why is that?
The only thing they say sometimes you can be mekabel or don't. If you mekabel in the morning, you want to own for the afternoon. If you want to use it again, we use it the same day. It's okay, but if you don't use it again the same day, you are not allowed to.
What?
What's up? Sure. Yeah. Only if he's going to reuse it, and a man by himself, not two men together. Not two men together. I can do that with this one. It becomes strange. It becomes like a person that dressing, ironing, fixing it good. It's become like similar to some kind of Malachi Mitaken. But it's hard to tell us how to. But we say that Talet, the Nisa, already some books permitted it. It's okay. But different garments, as I said, from the washing machine, they have to do it on Shabbat. Chalas. No. Oh, Talmidim. Only I don't even know. Not only Shabbat, all the time. Unfortunately, well, well, she, long ago, it wasn't even this. They used to have here, now, later on, they brought her, but they put it on top. They learned it from Jersey, Bradley, putting something, put the talit on. They told everybody, please put the talit on, it shouldn't be.
I saw it, I think, Petura or something. One of the shoes has it, Petura or something.
Right.
They have like a...
outside.
That's kind of a thing, and you, they throw it off.
On, yeah. The Bradley used to do it. I don't know. Once they used it here, Yeah? Yeah, they did it, but then impossible. No, impossible, and they always fall.
But they have a lot, they have many of them.
Too many, yeah. They couldn't do it. This is the Kippur Kelim, Kippur Begadim, very big things.
They still buy the nylon ones?
Huh?
They still buy the nylon ones?
The nylon?
Team. You know, the ones from the
water.
Yeah?
But the only thing we tell them to be careful to put the tzitzit wool. Because, unfortunately, for another reason, if you take the nylon, you put the tzitzit, they put the tzitzit off the silk. You saw those tzitzit.
As tzitziot or as fringes on the talatim you told me?
As tzitziot.
As tzitziot?
Yeah. Oh. It's pasul.
Of course not.
Why? Why pasul?
You need wool?
No, you don't need wool unless it is. Well, if you have something made from silk, you can put silk on. I mean, no, muta.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, the only thing we do is all this tzitziot to make them raw material for our Italy, one different places that we
make. And so make
it must be made the Shem Tzitzit. And this is possible, it was in Israel. The factory of the Tzitziot of the Talmud used to make it. And when Chaim Avadia became chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, years back, before him was a rabbi Ashkenazi. That they told the rabbi, give us the kashrut for this, that it's a kosher, that they will know that we'll be able to sell it. And it's a help, it's a help. So, then, Talmitanya and others, when Chaim Avadia became chief rabbi, they came to him to endorse it, give kashrut. So I don't give kashrut unless I come to visit. I look at the factory, I see everything, it's okay, I'll give you the kashrut. No. Rabbi, by all means, tfadal, please come in. And they made it. Why not for the rabbi came. He's looking how is everything is being made. He looks at everything, and then he tells them, who makes it? He said, no, I want to know where the material comes from. Oh, we buy, we import. And we put the tzitziot on the top. He said, what do you mean raw material? I want to know. What do you buy? You buy wool? You buy what?
Strange.
You know, you go to Yard Goods, you buy. In Italy, they manufacture them, and they sell it to us. Why? Very, very large ball of string. And we make it, we cut it, and we make the tzitziot. Wait a minute. Then the tzitziot are not made by you. Don't have to, you bring it from Italy, go in, make it, yes? So it's not allowed. It has to be made from when they make the silk. And to that has to be made the Shem Mitzvah Tzitzit. Go in, don't do it, the Shem Mitzvah Tzitzit. But the Jew has to make. But this is very important. Here we came, make it. By the way, we had all the talent, they had this tzitzit. We brought somebody. Take them off, put tzitzit on, wool. Moshe wool that made in Eretz Israel. Sit on it. Before Shmone, sometimes Avodat Yad. Factories in Israel, they make them. They make them, they said, each string has 8 threads. You know that?
Yes.
But Kafun Shmone, most of them is Kafun Arba, only from 4. But Kafun Shmone is better. And that's where they call Kafun Shmone. If it is Avodat Yad, not machine, it's better. Why? Because we said it has to be Lashem Mitzvah Tzitzit. Who makes it Mitzvah Tzitzit? First, and ask how bad when a person comes, he does it with Mashiach. He does with the Mashiach, and he moves it. Then the Mashiach makes hundreds and hundreds. The first one is made by the man. Second one, third one, fourth one is not. Some they don't want it made by Mashiach. Why they want me? Only made by a man with his hand. Let's call it Avodat Yad, handmade.
That's all.
Kapul Shmoni, Avodat Yad is more expensive.
Matzot, same thing?
Huh?
Matzot, same thing?
Matzot is different. It's
you need the Shem.
The Shem Mitzvah. Matzah. Some they tell you at the beginning if it said the Shem Mitzvah also. That's what
same thing, it's not Avodat Yad.
Some they want Avodat Yad. Some they want Avodat Yad because he does it for Shem Mitzvah. It's a problem, you understand? Because some they say it has to be the Shem Mitzvah Matzah. Some they tell you as long as Shemurah doesn't have to be the Shem Mitzvah Matzah. Listen, but since there are some people who say the Shem Mitzvah Matzah, then you have to have Avodat Yad handmade. That's why they eat Matzah Shemurah, the whole week of handmade.
But those are two different things. Shemirah, the Matzot, the flour, whatever,
yeah.
And Lashem Mitzvah are two different things.
Two different things. That's why there is Matzah Shemurah and also by machines. All of these, all of it's Mavarat and together. It's okay, it's kosher by machines. But it's not Lashem Mitzvah because machines are making a lot. The first one may be Lashem, but the other one is not. This is why there is an objection. Besides the point, there is objection because of the different thing. The different thing is this. You are allowed to make matzah shmura a certain amount of the dough, not very big dough. Why? Because when you make very big, it becomes very hard to mix it all together, it becomes a mess. You have a certain amount to do it one time. You finish, you make another dough. The dough should not be very big. Shemur halah, less than shemur halah. They count the talium in matzah, avodat yad. They do that. In matzah of the machine, they have something there, very big, hundreds of buns that they put flowers. And they mix it, but they tell you it's better. Why? In order to become Hametz, it takes at least a certain amount of time that the flour becomes Hametz. And you make it into a dough. They say about 18 minutes. Now 18 minutes, they take the matzah of the machines. From the time you put the flour into the bowl, you mix it, and the movie becomes cut, and becomes slices of matzah. Goes into the oven, takes altogether 3 minutes. How could it become Hametz? Do you understand? Some people prefer, it's better to take machines, it will never come. But the one handmade takes a long time. It may become Hametz. That's what they prefer. So, 100 years ago when they started with matzah machines, it became a terrible argument, and you were between the rabbis. The rabbis said, Hametz, they were Hametz. Only 3 minutes is better. Shema Yisrael, that's what they say, 3 minutes, 18 minutes, that in order to rise to become Hametz. But here, the heat of the machine, the heat makes it Hametz very fast. And if you stay with machines, more machines. The heat, all that war is so hot, but today they tell you it's not so hot. Still, if you go to the matzah and they make it, after they make the matzah, it goes like chains. I don't know if you saw that, but they put the dough into the oven. Nowadays, yeah. Now when it comes, circulates. And many times you find a little piece of the dough here, and those time after time, it becomes Hametz. It's a problem. It's a problem. But definitely the Hametz is better. That's what we used only had men. That's what we do. Yeah, but we can't tell them the people not. Salah Hamuta, the Matzot Jumra, even of the machines. We're not them. I advise him to buy it. So, sales were not to have the hand for the whole week. That's what we do with the Shumra. Very expensive, I don't say no. Those that take regular matzah shema Israel, they take for a dollar or something, the whole box, you buy it for $5 for them. We buy
it. It's nice.
One pound, it becomes $9.50, $10.50 we paid last year for one pound. It's very, very expensive. I'd like to person spends thousands of dollars a year. One decision comes based on to spend $60-$70 for months and so on. Let them also another thing. People will go today, $60-$70, go to a restaurant to have a meal. They pay big money. I don't know, maybe they pay $4 a meal, huh? Sure enough, you go to a very, elegant place in Sydney that you pay $4. Here you pay for $2. You go to the pizza store, you eat for $2. This is what they spend it on one meal. Why, okay? And we worry about Pesach. They tell you, tell them Pesach to buy material. No, but it's too expensive. 10 weeks? Let them prepare the money for now. Every week, a couple dollars will be enough. What we are saying, for the mitzvot. After that, Mashiach for Makina. Okay.
The first two nights.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe. Okay, I think we'll stop it with that. Today, yeah?
Put the radio.
Put it.
Мы связываемся с нашим военным обозревателем в Тель-Авиве Йосефом Данном по телефону. Йосеф Данн? Итак, Йосефом Данном мы свяжемся несколько позже, а сейчас в студии Йосеф Яханани. Пожалуйста, Йосеф.
Операция началась, объявил представитель Белого дома журналистам в Вашингтоне. В Израиле в этот момент был час ночи. Через какое-то время мы могли слушать по радио Израиля репортаж, который вели из гостиницы в центре Багдада два американских журналиста. Они сообщали о бомбардировке правительственных учреждений и объектов, имеющих военный характер. По-видимому, в течение долгих месяцев ожидания американская авиация самым тщательным образом и до мельчайших деталей разработала эту операцию. Кодовое название операции, как известно, «Буря в пустыне». Соединенные Штаты, выполняя свои обязательства, своевременно известили израильское правительство о начале военных действий. В 4 часа утра по израильскому времени наше радио и телевидение передавало прямую трансляцию выступления президента Джорджа Буша. Американский президент сказал, что правительство США и страны, выступившие против иракской агрессии в Кувейте, пришли к выводу, что лишь с помощью военной силы можно заставить правителя Ирака освободить Кувейт. Санкции, которые были применены, несколько месяцев после полной блокады, результатов не дали. Правитель Ирака Саддам Хусейн презрительно отвечал на все призывы мирно решить конфликт и вывести войска из Кувейта. В это же время он продолжал разработку химического оружия и свои попытки создать ядерное оружие. Он полагал, что время работает на него. Президент Буш сказал, что его страна не находится в конфликте с народом Ирака. Президент надеется, что иракский народ сумеет воздействовать на своего правителя и заставить его выполнить требования об освобождении захваченного им Кувейта. Президент говорил о решительных действиях американской армии. «Это не будет второй Вьетнам», — заявил Джордж Буш. На данном этапе в операции «Буря в пустыне» участвуют только военно-воздушные силы, наземные силы в действии не введены. Полчаса назад были получены сообщения о новой волне бомбардировок Багдада. Как сообщают, американские ВВС атаковали ракетные установки в западных районах Ирака, которые предназначались для нанесения удара по Израилю. Мы не знаем пока результатов этой бомбардировки. Как известно, американское правительство просило Израиль воздержаться от ответа силой в случае, если Ирак атакует нашу страну с воздуха. Израильское правительство ответило, что оно не может отказаться от права на ответ. Но если иракское оружие, направленное против Израиля, будет уничтожено, и Ирак откажется от провозглашенного им намерения атаковать Израиль, то, естественно, не будет и необходимости в нанесении израильского ответного удара. Пока что в нашей стране царит полное спокойствие. Однако командование гражданской обороны советует гражданам, не связанным с жизненно важными производственными службами, оставаться дома. Занятия в школах были прекращены еще вчера. Населению рекомендуется слушать радио и иметь под рукой средства противохимической защиты. На контролируемых территориях Иудеи, Сомали и Газе объявлен комендантский час. Глава правительства Израиля Ицхак Шамир сказал вчера, что Израиль не потерпит каких-либо враждебных действий в тылу, но если арабское население будет соблюдать спокойствие и порядок, ему ничто не угрожает. В нашей стране не было объявлено всеобщее мобилизация. Но в последнее время были призваны часть резервистов в связи с повышенной готовностью в армии обороны Израиля. Радио и телевидение ведут беспрерывные передачи. Таково положение сегодня, 17 января, 5 часов утра, по местному времени.
Спасибо, Исаак Йоханани. И мы пытаемся снова связаться с нашим военным обозревателем в Тель-Авиве, Йосефом Даном. Йосеф?
В 1:30 ночи военно-воздушные силы Соединенных Штатов Америки и Великобритании начали атаку на военные и стратегические центры Ирака. По сведениям иностранных корреспондентов из Багдада и Риада, бомбежки подверглись важнейший телекоммуникационный центр Ирака, расположенный в столице, радио и телецентр, президентский дворец, парламент, взлетные полосы аэродромов, атомный центр, расположенный к северу от Багдада, и базы ракет класса «Земля-Земля» на западе страны, откуда они угрожали Израилю, а также предприятия по производству ракет. Кроме того, ударам подверглись и объекты иракской армии в оккупированном ею Кувейте. По-видимому, американцам удалось добиться полной тактической внезапности. Система ПВО Ирака оказалась нейтрализованной. Авиация противовоздушной обороны не была поднята в воздух, по-видимому, из-за того, что английским пилотам, атаковавшим аэродромы, удалось вывести из строя взлетно-посадочные полосы. Поскольку американское военное командование ввело предварительную цензуру на все сообщения с театра боевых действий, то основная информация, которую мы располагаем, получена из сообщений западных корреспондентов в Багдаде и Риаде, а также из заявлений официальных американских лиц, в частности, президента Соединенных Штатов Америки Джорджа Буша и министра обороны Ричарда Чейни. В 4 часа утра по израильскому времени президент, выступив по телевидению с обращением к нации, сказал в частности, в то время как все человечество вступает в эру мира, Саддам Хусейн развязал войну. И вот сейчас 28 государств начали борьбу за освобождение Кувейта. Мы разрушаем иракские центры по производству атомного, химического и биологического оружия. Но эта война не будет, эта война будет скоротечной. Мы не допустим второго Вьетнама. Перед нами после ее завершения откроются пути к новому мировому порядку, который отвергает закон джунглей. Я убежден, сказал президент Соединенных Штатов, что отныне ни одно государство не позволит себе вероломно нападать на другое. Есть в мире ценности, которые необходимо защищать. Из выступления министра обороны Соединенных Штатов Америки и председателя объединенного командования штабов следует, что операция «Буря в пустыне» проходит по плану, что жертв у американцев пока нет, и что выполнены все задания, а самолеты военно-воздушных сил Соединенных Штатов Америки уже осуществили сотни боевых вылетов. Все американские самолеты вернулись на свои базы. Спустя час после начала операции представитель армии обороны Израиля сделал заявление, что ввиду создавшегося положения в Персидском заливе всем гражданам страны, за исключением лиц, обязанных работать при чрезвычайном положении, следует не покидать свои дома, вынуть противогазы из упаковки, с тем, чтобы они были под рукой. Йосеф Дан из Тель-Авива.
Большое спасибо, Йосеф Дан. И сейчас у нас в студии наш комментатор, профессор Иерусалимского университета Михаил Огурский. Наш корреспондент, наш комментатор, обозреватель военный сказал, что это будет новый мир, новый порядок. Действительно ли это так, профессор Огурский?
Да, я уверен, что это так, но прежде всего я хотел бы начать с того, что я думаю, что от имени всего израильского народа мы должны поблагодарить американские вооруженные силы, английские вооруженные силы, саудовские вооруженные силы, всех участников антииракской коалиции, которые приняли участие в этой блестящей операции. Я уверен, что это победа над Ираком создаст новую ситуацию. Я абсолютно согласен с тем, что было сказано. И она создаст новую ситуацию на Ближнем Востоке. Я думаю, что у Израиля гораздо более безопасное будущее. Оно было достаточно прочным и раньше. Мы теперь будем гарантированы от того, что какая-то другая арабская страна типа Ирака пойдет по его следам. Самая страшная угроза была у нас со стороны Ирака в последнее время из-за наличия у него стратегического оружия. Но здесь я хотел бы сказать следующее. Операции союзников антииракской коалиции против Ирака показывают, что современные технологии в руках отсталого средневекового государства не может быть эффективно использованы. Диктаторы типа Саддама Хусейна считают, что как только они получают какие-то железки, самолеты, ракеты и так далее, они, у них, так сказать, появляется ощущение всесилия. А на самом деле современные вооруженные, современная армия, современные военные действия требуют огромного применения логистики, электроники, вычислительной техники, на что эта страна совершенно не была способна. Блеф иракский был исключительно степени создан в 9-летней Иран-Иракской войне. И дело в том, что мы знаем, что Иран-Иракская война была со стороны Ирака войной почти против безоружной армии. У Ирана не было военно-воздушного флота. Но даже, судя по сообщениям, при полном превосходстве воздушного Ирака, они не могли его использовать. Было выпущено более 100 ракет, и ни одна ракета не попала по стратегической цели.
Да-да, продолжайте, продолжайте.
Я не сомневаюсь в том, что не только бизнес ожидает новую ситуацию, но и сами мирочи обозначили эти глубокие перемены. Я думаю, урок, который был дан Ираку, это будет урок всему арабскому миру. Мы обратили внимание, что даже перед окончанием течения ультиматума, даже Каддафи пытался убедить Саддама Хусейна выйти из Кувейта. Мы помним, как несколько лет тому назад американцы дали урок Каддафи.
The curfew in force on the Gaza Strip and widespread areas in Judea and Samaria was extended throughout the territories before it broke out in the Gulf. Speakers announced that residents breaking the curfew would be risking their lives. The army spokesman reports no incidents of unrest so far today in the territories. There were reported clashes in Arab cities of Jerusalem. 5 border policemen were likely injured during the unrest in Afar. 5 rioters, including 3 women, were arrested. Curfews were placed on Shuwan and Shuafat refugee camps after clashes this morning, during which some of the rioters wore gas masks. Both Jerusalem police and the spokesman for the U.S. consulate in East Jerusalem ignored rumors that shots were fired at the consulate building this morning. In contrast to the relief and happiness felt throughout Israel, Palestinians I spoke to this morning expressed disappointment at the developments in the Gulf. I have seen your opening El Fajr newspaper.
Well, the mood in the occupied territories today is of disbelief. A mood that the war is already upon us. They have listened to the developments and they saw the feverish work of many Arab workers to prevent the war. But finally the war came.
Mr. Signora, do you see the developments in the Gulf as a setback for the Palestinian people?
I believe the development is a setback for the world community at large because it could not prevent the war. It's going to be a setback to the environment of the region because already we see how much damage has been done.
Anna Signora, and this is Mark Weitz reporting.
I repeat the announcement. Air raid sirens have sounded in Jerusalem. Listeners should proceed to the prepared rooms and carry out stipulated civil defense instructions. In the Arab world, Jordan's King Hussein has contacted other Arab leaders to discuss the war in the Gulf. Jordan State on television said the monarch telephoned leaders of Libya, Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, Sudan, Mauritania, Yemen, and the PLO. These Arab leaders are said to support some sort of world-backed Arab solution to the Gulf crisis. This report on the Arab world's reaction to the Gulf War from Yaakov Rosenberg.
The U.S. and its allies may have destroyed the Iraqi war machine, but they have not eliminated Saddam Hussein. The Iraqi ruler appeared on Baghdad television tonight after hours of being kept off the air because of U.S. jamming. The pictures, not accompanied by sound, show a tired but smiling Saddam cheered by soldiers and greeting pedestrians in Baghdad. The Iraqi message was clear. Saddam may be down, but far from out. The Iraqis managed to broadcast Saddam thanks to Jordan, which remains publicly by Baghdad's side. The initial U.S. attack stunned the Hashemite kingdom, whose radio broadcast patriotic appeals to the population. There have been reports of unrest in Palestinian camps and protests against the Egyptian ambassador in Amman, but tonight's popular sentiment is running high. King Hussein met with senior army commanders and parliament leaders. Authorities kept the funerals for three PLO leaders in Amman slain on Tuesday to a limit of 500 people, a modest ceremony. Jordanian parliamentarians, meanwhile, are declaring support for Saddam, and Jordan Television interviewed numerous people from officials to shepherds, and they all agreed that the situation in the capital is calm and normal. Most of the Arab world, meanwhile, is reported quiet, especially the capitals of the anti-Iraq alliance, Cairo, Damascus, and Riyadh. Yaakov Rosenberg reporting.
The Gulf Cooperation Council, which is a roof organization of six Gulf Arab states, today welcomed the U.S. and allied attack on Iraq, at the same time warned Palestinians for a sighting with Saddam Hussein. The statement said that while council members are happy about the way the attack is going, the people of the Gulf would not forget those who had supported and applauded Iraq's crime in humiliating the people of Kuwait. On the eve of the Iraqi invasion, about 400,000 Palestinians lived in Kuwait, and the number still remaining there is estimated at about 150,000. Some Kuwaitis accuse Palestinians of cooperating with the Iraqis against Kuwait. The PLO today urged Palestinians and other Arabs to resist what it called American aggression against Iraq. An executive committee meeting in Tunis called on Arabs, Muslims, and so-called peaceful forces to go to war. Earlier, the PLO accused Americans, Zionists, and Europeans of being allied against Iraq and the Arab nations. One of Israel's top experts on Arab terror councils, One of Israel's top experts on Arab terror councils, the Americans, to hit the headquarters of the Palestinian organizations in Iraq. Professor Arye Merari of Tel Aviv University was talking to Alan Ben-Ami.
I do think that if Saddam feels that he's cornered, and he surely will see that very soon, if he doesn't feel that way right now, he'll try to pull every card he has from his sleeve. And the terrorist list is one of these cards. Now, the question is, to what extent can these terrorists cause real damage? They can cause some damage, but the damage is limited, rather limited. I mean, we shouldn't really expect a very broad wave, widespread wave of suicidal terrorist attacks all over Western Europe. Nothing like this. We should not create panic unnecessarily in Western publics. This is not a real danger, a large wave of terrorism. A terrorist attack here and there, yes, this is possible. But we should also take into account that some of these terrorists have been on surveillance by the security services in the countries that are in danger for quite some time. And it is likely that at least some of these terrorist cells will not be able to operate.
We repeat an announcement for local listeners in Israel. Air raid sirens have sounded. Listeners should go to the prepared room and carry out stipulated civil defense instructions.
Before that going, we have to pay a double debt in the Gulf War, political and financial. And the chairman overheard from Soviet political analyst Professor Mikhail Gorky that his opposition is not shared by the entire Soviet establishment.
There was a significant feature of the conservative defense of the Democratic of the Gorbachev view. This factor, says Professor Agorsky, is closely aligned with the military establishment, which has consistently opposed the policy in the Persian Gulf of Stud Mikhail. Agorsky finds an expert. In the huge purchases of Soviet weaponry made by Gulf over the years. In the first place, Iraq was not ready for such sophisticated armament. Of course, they feared that those discussions. We didn't know exactly if the Iran
resistance. American government sometimes also made such mistakes to send very sophisticated arms in almost medieval society. That was a secret of Saddam Hussein's war, of Qaddafi's war. Such a country cannot absorb sophisticated hardware.
The days of waiting on this last day indoors has raised the tension level in Israeli families. Co-Israel's open line phone-in programs offered counseling to anxious callers from psychologist Dr. Bob Friedlander.
Radio broadcasts in Israel opened their hotlines to a series of phone-in programs. On the local English service, we invited psychologist Dr. Dov Friedlander to answer questions.
My question is in regard to the feeling that we all have of great uncertainty at this time, that we don't know what's going to happen. What activities could we do in our daily lives to make us feel more in control of something, because there are many things that we are not in control of?
The caller has put a finger on perhaps the central issue of fear, and that is the issue of controllability. Once you can control your fear through having information, through being able to predict what is going to happen, the fear subsides considerably. One way in the present situation is, strange as it may sound, listening to the news at all times. Because information about what is going on, even if the news is not pleasant, is much better than uncertainty and not knowing.
I'm a student in Machon Riskin, and a few of us were only like, the school used to have 47 girls, and now they're only like 20 plus. And a lot of us are having trouble dealing with it, you know, like everyone's leaving, and so I wonder if there's anything you can tell us about it.
Yes, I can understand your fears about that. That is not a pleasant situation if the numbers are decreasing. What I would say is the 20 other of you who are left should really band together and support each other. There is nothing more important in a situation of tension or of fear than social support. So don't think of those who have left. Think of the girls who are here can do for each other.